Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison now.
This is the third part and the last in a series I've been doing. The first one was on pretending. Did that a couple weeks ago. Last week I talked about reasoning, thinking, and speaking. As children of God, we've got to be in that order because 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, "When I was a child, I spoke, thought, and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things." See, children speak and then think and then reason. But as Christian people, we're to reason, we are then to think, and then we are to speak. And that all comes from direction of the Holy Spirit. So I want to continue on, and I want to talk about speaking today. Very important today, as we understand that we have already reasoned, we've already thought about it, and then we're getting ready to open our mouth. Let's talk about how to do that. And I think it's very important. Matthew 12:34, whatever's in your heart determines what you say. Whatever's in your heart determines what you say. Proverbs 18:21 says the tongue can bring death or life. And this next part is tough for me, but it says, those who love to talk will reap the consequences. You got anybody here that loves to talk? Some of y'all can point to someone else because they aren't going to raise their hand. That's what they're doing. Everybody's pointing to somebody. There are people who love to talk, and you know that they can talk themselves into consequences. I'm one of them, have been there several times. And so what we've got to do is we've got, for especially for those that love to talk, make sure we're speaking correctly. But you know, to those who just assume not say anything, still need to learn to speak. Because the tongue has power, life, and death. Well, I'm not going to say anything. All right, well, then you definitely don't have life. Not saying you have death, but we don't want to be stagnant. So we got, I'm not just talking to those who talk a lot here. Those that talk a lot, be careful. Those that don't talk hardly at all need to say something, but it needs to be life. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we talked to, that was our main scripture last week, verses 6 through 16, but I'm just going to read 13 this morning. When we tell you these things, we don't use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. You ever try to talk about God in your own words? Sometimes it's tough. But if you pray and let the Holy Spirit reveal himself to people, he'll give you the right words. He'll give you the right words. All right, today I want to talk about speaking and how we're going to do that. And I've got 3 points, and these are just, once again, thoughts that I have. These aren't inclusive. There's probably 100 more, but these are the ones that the Lord gave me for the church this morning. Number one, you got to first confess it with your mouth before you can ever have anything that you're saying. So today I want to talk about confession. You've got to first confess with your mouth before you can have anything that you're going to have. It's got to come out of your mouth. If you're thinking about going on vacation and it never comes out of your mouth, you're not going to go on vacation. See, if you're thinking about being nice to your wife and doing something for her, you can think all you want, but until you do it, I was waiting for some women to go, come on. Amen. See, you can think all you want, but until it comes out of your mouth, you're not going to have or do what you're thinking. So you can think all you want, but at some point you better say it or it won't happen. It won't happen. And I think everybody here can get a hold of that. Confession is saying out of your mouth what is in your heart. The word confess is an interesting word. Let's just talk about what it means. In one word, you can probably get a better understanding of confession than anything else, because we hear confession and we think it's associated with Catholic terms. That's not at all what this is. When it says confess, and the Bible talks about it in a lot of different places, I'll mention a few of them today, but when it says confess, it means one word in the English language that you'll get a hold of. It means declare. Declare. So it's not about confessing, it's confessing, it's about declaring. However, we have interpreted in many translations as confess. And so when you understand that confess can mean declare, then you get an understanding of what it means. See, to make a statement or profess something that we state, we declare our sin, we can have forgiveness, we can have salvation, but it all comes from confession or declaration. So we're going to declare something. Matthew 12, 34, Romans 9, 10, 9, 1 John 1, 9. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you will what? Confess with your mouth. If you will declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. You declare, you make a statement, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it's by believing in your heart that you're made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you're saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. You'll hear people say that. I'm saved. Or let's just take that a step further, because we've got a lot of people here in the United States of America checking the Christian box. What they're saying is, I declare Jesus as Savior. But that's not what Romans 10, 9 and 10 says. It says, declare Jesus as Lord. And that's why we've got so many that will check the Christian box and say they're a Christian, because they understand it only as Jesus being Savior, but they never get a hold of him being Lord. Declare Jesus as Lord this year in how you vote. Declare Jesus as Lord in how you handle friendships, how you handle relationships. If Jesus is Lord, then you declare that. It comes out of your mouth and you say and do the right thing. 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness, or some translations say all unrighteousness. See, we have to confess our sins. The word confess means declare. Do y'all get this today? We got to understand this point. Salvation, deliverance from the power and the effects of sin. Aren't you glad today you can say you're saved? See, I'm delivered from the power and the effects of sin. My salvation, I have preservation from destruction or failure. In my salvation, I have deliverance from danger and difficulty. I know what all my salvation provides for me. Am I saying what my salvation provides for me? Am I declaring what my salvation provides for me? Or am I living like I just checked the Christian box and I can live however I want because I got heaven? So what we got, when it comes to living and overcoming life, your confession would be a lot better if it was just a little more positive. There are too many people in the body of Christ who just speak negative all the time, pertaining to their lives, pertaining to their kids, pertaining to just whatever, it's a negative response. Hear me today. Victory doesn't come by declaring negativity. Well, you're just too positive. What? Now, I have met people that have a little too much syrup on their pancakes. I understand that, but what I'm saying is, don't take that as, that gives me justification for just being negative. So what we got to get a hold of, Proverbs 6, 2 says that you can be trapped by what you say. You can be trapped. I don't want to be trapped. I don't want to be caught and not have a way out. So be careful what you say. You remember that little song as kids? Oh, be careful, little. Eyes what you see. Mouth what you say, ears what you hear. For the Father up above, he's looking down. He wants you to have life and life more abundant. And he's, from a very early age, we've learned this song, but we never really get it. Because we're in such a world that's negative. Negative, 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 and we start finding ourselves. Have you ever tried to turn around a conversation that is negative? You ever tried to just, I mean, I just like, if I could just turn this conversation around, because everything's just yip, 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 and you're like, oh, man, I wish I could just turn this around. And so, it's so cold today. This morning, I did a little test. When I walked in the door, and I won't have you raise your hand, but I asked a bunch of people. I made the comment because I just want y'all to know today is the first day of spring. Woohoo! And it's snowing. I hope it snows a foot. Negative people. No, that's not negative to say you hope it doesn't snow a foot. I'm hoping it'll be sunny. I mean, well, I understand that there was, but what I want to be careful about is that what we understand is if conversations can go negative real quick, when we start trying to turn it around to positive, you'll find yourself in opposition. It is so cold. Yeah, but I've read the forecast and it's going to get warm. So, that doesn't say that it's not cold today. I'll just go somewhere else. Or you try to stay in that conversation, and what do you find yourself doing? Agreeing with negativity or agreeing with... And if you try to turn it around, you're in opposition. It won't be very long, and they're mad at you. They don't want to be around you. Come on, everybody here has faced that. What do you do? What do you say in these situations? You need to start it out by confessing first. Put them in opposition to you, not you in opposition to them. You set the standard. You set the tone. You start out the positive and everything else. And when they come back in, you just keep on with the path you were already on. But what happens is we're letting the world set our paths. And as Christians, that is not what we are to do. Praise God, it's a great day. It's a great day. I loved it when I walked in. I was first day of spring. I told Laura Henson, first day of spring, it's snow. And she goes, boy, it feels good in here. That's it. That's what I'm talking about. That was a positive confession, declaration, and it does feel good because I remember September of 2012, it didn't feel so good in here. See, there are times that we've got to look and understand that God has given us the blessing of positivity, but we always look at it like, well, that name it, claim it, blab it, grab it stuff. Let's talk about that. Because I'm not about blabbing and grabbing something. It don't work. See, we got to find in life positive confession or declaration coming out of our mouth. Well, what is that, Pastor? See, if you're having financial struggles, your positive confession or your declaration of faith is, God will supply all of my needs and I'm going to have some left over to bless others. That's a positive confession. Now, you say, well, that... If you're faced with what looks like impossible circumstances, your confession of faith better be right so God can turn that around in your favor. Because it's got to come out of your mouth before it'll come into your hands. What are you declaring today? I just want to ask you, because God's going to hit you right between the eyes on this if it's something that needs to be corrected. Why? Because the word corrects. And so let's get into the word and understand that, because I want to know what it says. See, what you're declaring is important. How you feeling? It ain't about how you're feeling. But so many people make it about how they're feeling. How am I feeling? Oh, I feel horrible. I don't even want to get out of bed. Chances are you probably won't. See, man, how you feeling? Well, I'm believing my body's going to come in line with the word. Why don't you come into agreement with me and let's pray. There's a good positive. See, I didn't say I'm going to lay in bed all day and I don't know what I'm going to do and I don't know how I'm going to get somewhere and I'm just probably going to be bad. None of us know how all the time. That's why we serve a God who does. How many times do we say negative things? Most of us are guilty at one time or another. You look outside, you see it's cold, it's wet, it's snowy, it's whatever it is today. I mean, you say, what a yucky day this is going to be. Or your bills are piling up and you say, I'm never going to get out of debt. Don't put a negative declaration on your life. Don't do that. See, you can't go and eat and you tell your kids you can't afford it. I've heard people say this. Well, we'd like to, but we just can't afford it right now. Well, isn't that true? It may be that you can't afford it. It may be that you can't afford it. But what you don't want to do is stay there. So what you might do is change that to something that's a little more positive. And it's not a lie to be positive when you're in a bad situation. Let me say that again. It's not a lie to do or say something positive when you are in a bad situation. It's just a lot harder. But who said the Christian life was going to be easy? It's going to be tough at times, and we got to step up to the plate and be the ones that answer. We got to have it. See, telling your kids you can't afford it doesn't put a positive spin in the eyes of a child. In fact, they're around other children who their parents can afford it, and then what do you produce in their minds about you? Are you seeing what words can do? They're going to create. Now, what did that just create for you? See, what you might say is something about, instead of spending money right now going out to eat, we're putting some back to help a family who doesn't have everything they're in need of that we have. See, right now what we're doing is we're saving money. Instead of going out to eat, we're taking that money and we're putting it into something that will benefit us in the big picture of life a lot more. See, there's things that you can do and you come across and all of a sudden the kids understand it's not a deficit to not go out and eat. All of a sudden what it is an increase for our life. But what you spin it like is what you're going to see as an outcome oftentimes in the lives of others. And if you're negative, you're spinning other people's lives in directions when they don't have Jesus, you're spinning them in directions they don't need to go. So you got to be careful what you're saying. Saying positive things does not negate the fact that things aren't looking good. I understand that. But Hebrews 11:1 can give you some substance here. See, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things that are not seen. That doesn't mean it's blab it, grab it, name it, claim it. What that means is faith can be things that are hoped for. It's your substance. But you can't see it right now. You can't see your financial situation. You can't see your health. You can't see how you will one day go out and eat. You can't see that, but by faith, things are going to be different. See, in other words, the answer to your problem, by faith you know it's on its way. That's your answer. It's on its way. Basically, you're confessing things not as they are, but as they will be. If Christian people get a hold of this, I'm telling you, life would be different for you. It's a known medical fact that positive confession promotes healing where negative confession can actually cause disease. Negative declaration can cause you deeper health issues. So what do you want, health or do you want sickness? Pastor, that's easy. I got the answer to that one. It doesn't make any difference what the doctor says. If he tells you things are going to get worse, you start confessing that things are going to get better. Oh, it's going to get bad. You just got to know when someone says that, they took God out of the picture. It don't have to get bad for life because I know what my salvation provides. Let's just go back to what we started with. I know what my salvation provides. Do you know that or not? It tells you that real quick, if you'll confess God's will and his plan with your mouth, you can have what you say. Well, Pastor, I just don't know if I... Let's get to the second point here. The second way to receive good things from God is to implement faith. You will have what you say if you believe it in your heart. And a lot of people just say it, but they don't believe it. Well, you need to get saved. Oh, Pastor, are you doubting my salvation? All I'm saying is if you don't believe, that's the essence of Romans 10, 9, and 10. It's all about belief. And when you believe that he's big enough God to save you, then obviously he'd be a big enough God to heal you, sustain you in life. He's big enough to do all this. So you got to confess God's will and plan for your life. No, if can be a big word, but it doesn't have to be. Mark 11, verse 23. Mark 11, verse 23 says, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says," say that after me, "says, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes, say believes, believes that those things he says, will come to pass, and he will have whatever he says. Three times he said says, one time he said believes, and at the end of it, you can have whatever you say as long as you say what you believe and it lines up with God's plan and will for your life. So that's not taking anything. Assuredly, this is Jesus saying it. It's in red in my Bible. I say to you, Jesus says, whoever says to this financial crisis, that's a mountain in your life, whoever says to this financial crisis, be removed and cast into the sea. See, I want this out of my life. I don't want to be paychecked, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes in his heart what he said. The problem is we got a lot of people saying but not believing. There's a saying and believing that has to go with it. Well, how do I believe? I believe it because God said it, and that's good enough for me. If God says that I can cast it, then I can cast. See, it can be cast in the, well, did I do that? It all came from your mouth. We'll be talking about authority here in the next couple weeks, but I'm telling you, God has given an authority to believers. And if you'll look, God uses his people to move his will on this earth all the time. Amen. Problem is, God's people aren't saying the right thing. See, thinking is not enough. Saying it is not enough. It's believing and saying. Why can't we believe like this today? Maybe it's because we live in a skeptical world that says, I won't believe until we, I mean, we live in Missouri, the show me state. Everywhere I go outside of Missouri, they'll always say, the show me state. You gotta see it before you'll believe it. And I'm thinking, just because that's Missouri's motto, I'm not Thomas. See, I don't have to doubt everything, because here's what the Bible was real clear about. Doubting Thomas, Jesus appears to the disciples after the resurrection. Thomas isn't there. Y'all remember the story? Thomas isn't there. And so Jesus leaves, and Thomas comes back to the disciples, and they all say, Thomas, we saw Jesus. It was awesome. We saw everything. He's alive. Thomas goes, that's great for all y'all, but unless I see it, he didn't say y'all, but that's my, that's great. But until I see it, I ain't believing it. He must have been from Missouri. No, it's not about being from Missouri. What it's about is he is answering what so many of us have been in our life. We've doubted the power of God. Oh, we believe him for salvation because we'd rather have heaven than hell, but we can't believe him for our health. So, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed is what the word says. Right after Thomas saw Jesus, Jesus blessed him, and then his grace showed him who he was. Here, touch me, feel me, you just know this, it's all here, see, check it out. And then he told Thomas, he goes, man, that's great, but those Missouri people need to get a hold of this point. All you show me-ers out there, show me, show me, show me. I don't believe you. Blessed are those who haven't seen and believed. That's what the Bible says. How many here this morning are saved? Come on. All right, hands up everywhere. You're saved. How many of you saw Jesus when you got saved? Not any of you, but yet you say you're saved. And you didn't even actually see him? How do you know you're saved? By faith. By faith. That's how you know. That's how you know you're saved, by faith. How do you know you're going to get well? By faith. How do I know my finances are going to come in line? By faith. How do I know my kids are going to be raised in a household that honors God? By faith. By declaration. That's why. See, Jesus said by your confession of faith, you can say to this mountain, any obstacle, devil, you ain't got nothing on me because I got Jesus. See, I got Jesus. I know. There's an old legend. I like this story of a benevolent king who had his men place a great heavy stone on a certain roadway over which the subjects would have to travel, and he hid himself to see who would try to remove the stone. No one stopped to try to remove the stone, but all would work their way around it, loudly blaming the king for not keeping the roadway clear. Finally, a poor farmer on his way to town with a load of vegetables, which he had hoped to sell in the marketplace, came to the block roadway. He laid down his load, and with considerable effort, loss of time, he managed to move the great stone to the side of the roadway. Then turning to leave, he spied a purse which had been placed under the stone. He opened the purse and found it to be filled with pieces of gold and a note from the king indicating that it was all to be the property of the one who would remove the stone. And this is how many people are today. Instead of trying to use their faith and then using application of life, faith and works, to get rid of the stone, we never experience the true riches God has for us. And he's just waiting for you to do it. Oh God, why did this have to happen to me? God's saying, let that obstacle move you forward today. Come on, this message is for somebody this morning. Let that obstacle move you forward. Don't let it destroy you. Leads me to my third point. That is, you can have what you say when you receive it. When you receive it. When you receive it. You see, whatever you say is what you're going to receive. But you still got to pick it up. You got to take it. You got to have it. There's action required. See, receiving requires some effort. It does. It requires some effort. I'm reading in 2 Kings chapter 5, Naaman, the leper. You remember the story? He was this warrior, and he had leprosy, and he was asking his king if he could go see, because this little girl said he needs to go to Jerusalem, he needs to go to Samaria and check out, and so you need to go find this great, mighty prophet over there. And so he goes, and the king over there thought, this is a ploy, and then the prophet heard about it, and Elisha came and said, wait, I can take care of this guy, send him to me. And he comes over there, and he goes, all right, Naaman, all you got to do is go down to the River Jordan 7 times and dip. Wash yourself in the River Jordan 7 times. That's all you got to do. What'd Naaman do? See, it says in verse 11 of 2 Kings 5, Naaman became angry and stalked away. Well, I thought this man of God had certainly come out to meet me, he said. Said his words, he said. I expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy and call in the name of the Lord, his God, and heal me. How many people are expecting God to do something and you keep saying it the way you think it's supposed to be? Instead of just saying healing is mine and I'll take whatever avenue I need to go. If I need to go see a doctor, if I need to go here, if I need to go down to the river 7 times, whatever it is, I'm trusting God. And God's representative in the Old Testament was Elisha, and he gave him specific directions, and Naaman said, pfft. And that's where God's people are all the time. God's saying, go to church. Be a part of the body of Christ. Quit forsaking the assembling of the believers. I don't have to go all the time and worship God wherever I want. Naaman. Let me just tell you, God's provisions don't come until you follow his word. And you do what he asks. You say, oh, I'm just praying and believing God. You better do what God says and not just pray and believe. There's an action that comes with it before you're going to receive. See, you're wanting to receive it, and God has given you the directions just like Elisha did Naaman. And Naaman goes, I ain't doing that. I expected him just to come and wave his hands over me. But I didn't get it the way I wanted it, so I won't get it. How's that working for you? See, that's what Naaman, I'm just not going to get it. You know Naaman didn't get it until somebody else, a bunch of preachers, a bunch of guys that know him or whatever, they came and said, Naaman, why don't you just go do it? What'd Naaman do? He goes down 7 times. 7th time, his skin, he looks down, and it was normal. Oh, what's you're needing a healing? Why don't you just do what God says? You're needing some financial blessings. Why don't you just do what God says? You're needing a marriage that comes back together like God intended. Why don't you just do what God says? See, you're needing your kids to be raised in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Why don't you just do what God says? There's so many things that are in there. The problem is you can't do what God says. Why? Because you don't know what God says. God's people aren't reading His word anymore. God's people aren't listening to CDs and sermons anymore. God's people aren't spending any time praying anymore. But we can spend all the time we want on Facebook. But how much are we spending in the Word of God? See, there's so much that God says is available for you. Deuteronomy 6, don't forget all this stuff. Don't forget all this stuff. I mean, after persuasion and going and receiving what was his, he got it. Today, that's a word for somebody. You just need to do what he says. You just need to do what he says. Do what he says. Jesus said in verse 24 of Mark 11, I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it's yours. You can pray for anything. If you'll believe that you've received it, it will be yours. It's like the lady who had the issue of blood for 12 years. Couldn't get better. I'm just some Bible stories here. Jesus come into town, and she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Do you know what? She had some positive declaration. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I can be made well. Well, I don't know if I agree with her. I don't know, but she said it, she did it, and she received it. Well, I don't know if this will work or not. Why don't you say it and do it and then see if you don't receive something? Well, I just don't know about that. Name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. I could never do that. All right, well, then you'll never get what you won't say. I mean, I don't know she confessed it, she believed it, she did something to receive it, she pushed her way through the crowd to touch his garment, and she was made whole. You know, I just don't know. Well, the Bible's full of stories like this, full of stories. We got to start watching. Come on, church, we got to watch what we say. We got to get our hearts tuned in. We got to confess with our mouth. We got to believe in our hearts. And we got to confess and we got to receive. It's time. Come on. It's time today we start confessing wealth instead of poverty. Well, my whole family's poor. My daddy's poor. My mom is poor. I'm probably going to be poor too. Why would you say that? See, you're declaring something that doesn't have to be yours. Well, where does the Bible say anything about wealth? Everything that operates here on this earth does through money now, a type of exchange, and our exchange is money. And for God's kingdom to be furthered, money is necessary. When God's people don't have any money, it's hard to do things here on this earth and bless people and help them out, provide food for them. It's all done through money. So I don't know I just don't know about that money. Meek are supposed to inherit the earth. Yeah, but it doesn't say the poor. The poor and the meek, yeah, it does. Well, was it talking about money? It's talking about, no, your attitude. Money's just a plain old thing. It ain't good or bad. It's kind of a neutral. So it ain't going to bless you to have it. It ain't going to bless you to lose it. But what it is, it's an exchange. So maybe it's not money. Maybe it's land. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's something. But there's something you've got to have to further God's kingdom. And God's going to supply that. And I'm going to confess it. And I'm going to believe it. And I'm going to receive it. Because I'll go out and get it. I'm going to have declaration out of my mouth, wealth instead of poverty, and then I'm going to go out and hand out business cards and go house to house, and I'm going to go do this, and I'm going to drive and buy something over here so I can sell it for more over here, and I'm going to do everything I can so that I can have what I declared. Come on, is anybody on page here? It's time that we start declaring health instead of sickness. It's time that we start having victory instead of defeat. That's what I'm declaring. It's time to have joy instead of sorrow. Joy comes in the morning. Well, it's morning. Power instead of weakness. Start confessing for what seems impossible, and God will turn your situation around if you'll believe it. You'll receive it. You'll go out and do what's necessary to get what God promised. Salvation is a lot bigger than just heaven. Now, it's awesome. I'm looking forward to it. But his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That means there's some stuff right now that's possible for the life of his people. And we better get a hold of speaking it. It comes out of our mouth. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you hear, because what you hear gets in your heart, and what comes in your heart comes out of your mouth. So be careful what you hear.
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.